Welcome to the Bomb and Gouge podcast. I'm your host, Gary Bissell. This week's episode is going to talk about the fear of failure and how that impacts the athlete. All right, I want to welcome everybody in. This week's episode is going to be quick and right to the point. We're going to talk about the fear of failure and how that impacts you as an athlete, as a coach, and maybe in everyday life. This can apply to a variety of topics in life, but first thing I want to convey, the fear of failure, we look at it as such a negative thing, right? As if you're weak if you feel this, and whatever it may be, and it's going to lead to poor performance. But understand, most great athletes have a large fear of failure. And that's what motivates them. So right out of the gate, we can look at this as there's a motivating factor behind the fear of failure. Right? For a lot of us, that's what makes us get up, is we're worried about the negative outcome or not reaching our expectations. And that's what makes us work so hard. So A, if you're a competitive person with a healthy fear of failure, I think it can certainly work to your advantage. All right. Now, you know, it's clearly motivational and is what drives you. Where it becomes a negative thing is that idea of a strong fear of failure during a game or a match or a meet. Okay. Where it's now leaked into that and we can't perform to our highest level. And my hope of this is to alleviate that portion a little bit. Right. Use the fear of failure to your advantage from a standpoint of being driven and working your ass off. But let's learn how to alleviate a little bit and perform our best when the lights come on and it matters most. All right. So I think the first piece to this, as far as the alleviating that fear of failure and helping yourself perform your best when that moment actually comes, understand first. All athletes fail far more than they succeed. Even the best in the world, they fail way more than they succeed. And if you find that hard to believe, just look at sports statistics. I don't care what sport you pick. In basketball, you're a phenomenal shooter if you shoot above 45% from the field. If you shoot 40%, like, you're okay, right? But like all of a sudden above 45%, you're a great shooter. If you shoot 50%, oh my gosh, like you might be leading your conference, league, whatever it is in field goal. You might be the best there is. 50%. So if you miss half your shots, if you fail 50% of the time, you might be the best there is, but definitely one of the best, missing half your shots. Baseball is the ultimate example, right? If you bat 300 in the major leagues, you're a phenomenal batter, right? You're an all-star, and then some. All right? If you do it for your career, you're a Hall of Famer, batting 300. You fail 7 out of 10 times, but you're one of the best, right? In golf, to relate it to golf, your goal, when you get really good, right? Let's say that you're a college-level player, professional player, your goal should be to birdie every hole. No one's ever shot 54, at least not ever documented, right? And there's been a handful of 59s and what, 251, 58, 258s on the PGA Tour. So no one's ever succeeded in golf as far as birdie. Now, I know our fear of failure isn't not birdieing every hole. It's making bogeys, this and that, but you know, the best players in the world do that a whole heck of a lot as well. All right. So, and what they definitely do is hit a lot of poor shots. But what the best in the world do is they recover better from that. And that, I think, is the main point of this, is understand great athletes aren't great athletes because they don't fail. Great athletes are great athletes because they recover from failure and they grow from failure, even within a game or shot or meet, right? So the difference between a great player in an average player, when the average player hits a bad shot, let's say in golf, he starts fearing, right? Or he's feared that shot even before he hits it. And then once he hits it, the fear comes in of, oh my gosh, where is this going to go now? Like, is this going to continue and spiral out of control? Where the great player recovers from the poor shot, it doesn't shake him, all right? It doesn't alter his confidence. You know, one of my favorite examples, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but Steph Curry was 0 for 10 from the three-point line in a game. And then he made the 11th. So he was 1 for 11, terrible shooting night. But he made the 11th one and did this like little shimmy, you know, little arrogant stuff that he can do from time to time. And his coach, Steve Kerr, commented on him like, that's his confidence level. You know, he wasn't shooting that 11th three-pointer having in mind of, you know, oh my gosh, I've missed 10 straight and I should stop shooting. Like, he just shot every three as if he was 0 for 0, right? It's just one at a time, you know, and we relate that back to golf and playing one shot at a time. You know, it doesn't matter the ones that you've hit right before that or the ones that are to come. All that matters is right here, right now. And you've got to be solidified in that moment. And your confidence can't falter no matter how much you've failed. And to put this in perspective, I went to a seminar with Dave Stockton. If you don't know who Dave Stockton is, he's one of the top-ranked instructors in the country, and he's actually a putting coach. He actually works with a lot of people on the PGA Tour. And I went to one of his seminars, and in there, he gave this great presentation about what he believes in the putting stroke, and, you know, I believe you should have these angles and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not going to get into detail about his philosophy because that's neither here nor there. And those are his philosophies and doesn't make him right and it doesn't make him wrong. You know, we all have a little different beliefs on how things should be done. But the thing that he said at the end that is absolutely true is he said, you know what? I hope you guys really enjoyed everything that I talked about and my beliefs and how the putting stroke should look. But let me tell you what the big thing about putting really is. And he looked kind of around the room in the seminar and he said, I'm the best putter in this room strictly because if I miss 24 footers in a row, I strongly believe and am confident I'm going to make the 21st one. Because most of you, if you miss two of them in a row, you think you have the yips or you think there's something wrong with you or stuff spiraling out of control. And I walked away. I was like, oh my gosh, is that the truth? I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've coached or taught where they have a bad chipping day or a bad putting day or maybe even a bad week. Who cares? And it's like, oh my gosh, something's, you know, it's catastrophic or something wrong with me. It's like, so we've got all this data, right? We've collected data of years of you and you've been a good putter and you have one bad week and now you're going to classify yourself as a terrible putter and you have the yips and this and that. Like, give me a break. All right, so I'm digressing a little here, but just from the standpoint of we have to understand we're so hard on ourselves, so hard on ourselves. You're going to fail, and you're going to fail a lot. The sooner you accept that, the better your performance will be. No question about it. Prepare the best you can prepare. All right, go into every event or game knowing you're as prepared as you possibly can be. There's nothing else you could have done to prepare any better. Now the pressure's off. All right, great news is you've done everything you can do. You can just let it fly, right? And then give your best effort throughout that game or event. And then at the end, reflect. Okay, how did I do? What could I have done better? What tweaks could I have made? All right? Always be making adjustments. Because at the end of the day, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, right? And when I had Tom Gillis on the podcast, former PGA Tour player, current Champions Tour player, we talked about that. And he made that comment. Like, listen, the best are always making adjustments, all right? We're not tearing down and rebuilding. Of course not, because we've had success. But constantly making adjustments and reflecting. And that's what every great athlete does and what every great business does. You know, whatever in life, anyone who's good at anything, right? They're always reflecting and then making adjustments. So, you know, I guess I would summarize this. Don't let the fear of failure curve you, right, in a negative way. Let it drive you. And then when it comes to performance, let's relieve our performance anxiety a little bit from the standpoint of understanding everybody fails and they fail a lot, right? And if you fail half the time only half the time, I should say, you're probably one of the best that does it. So let's get rid of our performance anxiety a little bit, all right? And just understand, again, I use this quote all the time. Great athletes are not great athletes because they don't make mistakes, all right? They're great athletes because they recover from mistakes and their confidence does not alter, all right? So hope this helps. Thanks for tuning in to Bomb and Gouge once again. And we will have a special guest next week. And look forward to tuning in. And thank you again.